Thank you, praise team, for that lovely music. I trust this morning that you can say, it is well with my soul. This past week has been full of a lot of changes. Some people have found out that they're unemployed. We've gone from stores just lacking toilet paper to entire shelves being emptied. Here at the UBC, we've gone from having two services last Sunday to, well, just having a live stream service. So there have been many changes, and with changes come a lot of emotions as well. And I trust that probably all of us have experienced various emotions. Emotions from panic, to fear, to maybe frustration, to feeling overwhelmed. The list can go on. As I've already mentioned, some people have lost their employment. Some are beginning to wonder when the next paycheck is going to come to pay the rent, to keep the utilities on. It's pain and suffering, anxiety and doubt, questioning, not trusting others, people who we have trusted in the past, who we thought would have the answers, and now they don't have the answers. So there's a lot of change. In a sense, we could probably say things have kind of gone from bad to worse. But as we're here this morning, and as we've focused on worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ, it is true that it can be well with your soul and with my soul. Doesn't mean all the circumstances that are around us are going to be what we want, but that which was within us can give us peace and joy and to experience unconditional love. That's available for all of us, all who come to faith in Jesus Christ. Here at Union Baptist Church, we've been looking at a series dealing with the Passover. And for maybe some of you who are not familiar with that, that deals with the Jewish history of when God did some miraculous events while they were slaves in the nation of Egypt some 3,500 years ago. And God instituted the Passover meal. It's called the Seder, but it's used to remind the Jewish people of all that God had done for them in the big Exodus. In fact, in the book of Exodus, in the Bible, you will find the story of the Jewish people leaving the nation of Egypt, the world power at that time, without having to fight. And in fact, they were encouraged by the Egyptian people to leave because of what God had done. And so last week we looked at the historical view of how the Jewish people, when they had observed the Passover and when they did not, and the implications that would reflect maybe on how we approach the coronavirus and the situations that we're facing today. And so today I want us to be able to look at, again, a situation that took place before the Passover was instituted, but is connected with the Jewish people, and how they went from bad to worse, and how they responded, and what we can learn from them in our relationship with our God. And I trust this morning that if you don't believe in God, that you'll just hear me out a little bit this morning. Be patient. And we'll just see what the scriptures have to say for us this morning. But before we get into the scriptures, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for each and every one that has joined us live streamed or through the recorded session. And Father, I pray that you will help our hearts to be humbled and to come before you, asking for you to do a work in our hearts. Many of us have been affected by various decisions that have been made the past week. And for many, things have gone from bad to worse. And so, Father, I pray this morning that as we look at how you ministered to your own people and how you're ministering to us today, that we can receive encouragement, that we can receive instruction in how to come to you and to be able to enjoy the things that you are offering to us today. And I pray this in your son's name. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to start with just a story, a true story of how God intervened in with his people, the Jewish people, when they were slaves in the country of Egypt. It's found in Exodus chapter 6, and I'd just like to read these verses, verses 1 through 9. It says, "But the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land.' And God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with the great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord.'" Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they didn't listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. You know, all except the last verse, God is speaking to Moses and telling them of some great things he's going to be doing for them as a nation. And yet the very last verse speaks that they did not listen to Moses, even though he spoke these wonderful words to them, because they had a broken spirit. With all the changes that we have faced this past week, and with the coronavirus pandemic affecting the entire world, how has that left you feeling this week? Maybe you wouldn't describe yourself having a broken spirit, but maybe there's a spirit of fear, maybe even panic, maybe a sense of being overwhelmed. Whatever that you're sensing, I think you can identify with the Jewish nation as they're being held as slaves. Because you see, the things went from bad to worse for them. And we read a little bit out of chapter 6, and to understand that things went from bad to worse for them, you have to go back to chapter 5. And in that chapter 5, you see God telling Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go so that they can travel 3 days out into the wilderness and be able to worship me." Pharaoh's response was, "Who's God?" A lot of people have that response. Who's God? Because you see, Pharaoh sort of viewed himself as a deity, just like a lot of the Roman emperors viewed themselves as deity. So did Pharaoh. And why should I let my people, the Jewish people, my slaves go? They're busy building the city of Ramses. Why should I let them go? And so Pharaoh decided, well, it must be that the Jewish nation had too much time on their hands. So he decided to make things more difficult for them. They went from just making bricks to having to go get the straw in order to make the bricks, in order to build the cities that Pharaoh wanted built. And so that added an increased workload. And Pharaoh said, "You are going to make your quota of bricks every day, even though you have the additional work of going to get your own straw." And of course, they could not meet their quota. And of course, Pharaoh put his taskmasters to the task of beating the Jewish people and forcing them to meet their quota. And the less they met their quota, the more they were beaten. And of course, the Jewish leaders go to Pharaoh and say, "Why are you doing this to us?" And he says, "Because Moses has come and asked for you to have permission to go and worship this God of yours. You have idle time, and so I am going to make you work harder." And of course, that went made things bad to worse for the Israelites, as they now went to Moses and they spoke ill of Moses. Because when first Moses came to Egypt, they were excited that God was going to get them out of slavery. and now they're speaking ill of him. And so after they have spoken to Moses, Moses goes to God and says, God, why have you brought this evil upon your own people? Why? Things had gone from bad to worse. And maybe this week you're sensing that in your own life. You know, there was a godly, rich, righteous man who lived long before this took place in the nation of Egypt. His name was Job. Maybe you can equate with what he is saying here. Oh, that my vexation were weighed and all my calamity laid in the balances. For then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Now, we know that's an exaggeration. But that gives you an idea of the intensity of the pain that Job was feeling, not only physically, but also emotionally. And I think many of us are there as well. And so the Bible is just a wonderful, truthful, honest book that helps us to understand our own feelings and how God is going to react and respond to those and encourage us and to give us hope in the midst of hopelessness. And the interesting thing is we've read those 9 verses in chapter 6, God is giving hope to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. He said in verse 1, he says, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. You see, God had to get everybody on the same page. I think everybody, even Moses, was expecting, hey, my first trip in to see Pharaoh, he's going to bow to his knees and he's just going to say, take the people and go. Waiting for a Shazam moment. Didn't happen. Why? Because God had to get everybody on the same page. Everyone had to understand the hardness and in the understanding that Pharaoh had of God. That who is this God? Also had to bring the nation of Israel to a point of them seeing that they were not going to be able to do anything to relieve their own suffering. They had to put their faith totally in God. And Moses had to understand that this was going to be a process. It wasn't going to be a Shazam moment and everything is going to be all right. And I think that's something for all of us to learn as we face our difficulties in our understanding, is that we need a greater understanding of who God is and what he's going to accomplish. And yes, we all would love to have the Amazon Prime answer that it comes to us within 24 hours and all of our problems are solved, but God doesn't always work that way. He has something so much greater for us to understand and a work to do in our own hearts. The other sign of hope that we have in this passage is found in verse 3, where you see the word Lord. It's written in capital letters in your English Bible if you're looking at your Bible. And God says to the ancestors, to your ancestors of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I did not make myself known to them. What was God saying in that? Well, what he is saying is that I'm an absolute being. I don't need anyone's help. And I, with all the freedom that I have as God, being the all-powerful, always present God, that I am going to complete my promises that I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That word, Lord, is translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh. And even though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew God and knew this name, they had never yet experienced the degree of completion of the promises that God had promised to Abraham way back in the book of Genesis in chapter 15, when God said, through you, Abraham, all nations and all the world will be blessed. And God even told Abraham, your descendants are going to go to a country and they're going to serve that country, but yet I will bring them out. And here God is putting that promise to Abraham that happened several hundred years prior was now coming to fruition. So what do we see about God in all of this passage? Well, we see one thing, 8 times he says, I will do something. God is speaking the whole entire 8 verses, and God is saying, I will. So what's the first thing that he says? Well, one, he's going to deliver his people from the Egyptian bondage of slavery. You may sense in your life right now that you're in bondage. Maybe you're quarantined. Maybe you just feel that you have to stay at home because of your own health or the health of your loved ones may be compromised, and not, and going out just isn't really an option. Or maybe it's just dealing with something else in life. Maybe it could be an addiction. Maybe it's something with inside of you that just continually is in your life. When you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, it's always there, just gnawing at your soul, and you just can't get rid of it. My question to you is your understanding of God, is it bigger than what you're facing? Or is what you're facing so overwhelming that you don't see how God could help in any way, shape, or form? I want to encourage you this morning. God is far bigger than any problem that you face, whether it's dealing with paying the rent, or dealing with an addiction, or dealing with an emotion that's inside of you that just continually wants control of you. God is far bigger than that. And he was going to show that to his own people. The second thing that we see here is that God is going to adopt his people, and that they are going to be his nation, his people. Interesting. When you look at the situation, would you think you would want to adopt a nation of slaves who only do grunt labor? Why would God want a group of people like that? Was it because they were such good people and the Egyptians were so bad? No, that's not the answer. Was it because they simply deserved it and God felt that he sort of owed them something? No, that's not it either. As we saw last week, it's simply because God loved them and he wanted to display his love to them, and by that, showing his love to the entire world. That through faith in God, you can experience that love. And you and I can be an adopted son or daughter through faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at that a little bit later here this morning. The other great promise that God said to them is, says, I am going to guide you to the promised land. I mentioned Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a little bit earlier. They were just nomads in the promised land. In fact, whenever one of their relatives died, they had to buy a piece of property in order to bury them because they didn't own anything. They were just simply nomads. Yet God took the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, to Egypt, and now is bringing them out of Egypt. And what God had promised to the ancestors, he was going to fulfill now. And yet, things are going from bad to worse. And the people have a broken spirit. And so there's a question that all of us have to address, is when things in our lives go from bad to worse, am I willing to trust Jesus and follow him, even when my circumstances dictate otherwise? Because we're all going to have those type of situations in our lives. Am I willing to follow and trust Jesus, even though it may not even make any sense? You know, you would think after hearing these promises that the Israelites would be jumping up and down and just excited and say, oh man, God's going to do something great and awesome here. And yet, as we've already read in verse 9, it says they had a broken spirit and harsh slavery. But why? Why couldn't they see what God was doing, even though things were going from bad to worse? Well, I think there's a couple of things that we see here that many times, if we were honest with ourselves, we see it in ourselves as well. First one is that they focused on their troubles more than they focused on God. You see, when my troubles get so big, I have to make a decision. Who am I going to trust? Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust God? Or are you going to trust in your ability to be able to get yourself out of your own problems or situations or your troubles? You see, the Jewish people had the trouble of making bricks. And that was all consuming, because if they didn't meet their quota, they knew Pharaoh was going to be mad and he was going to make them pay for not making the bricks. Sometimes our trouble gets so consuming of our attention that we forget God. We forget how great, how big He is. And we get so consumed by those troubles, and those troubles consume every ounce of energy that we have in our own hearts and minds to the point that we live exhausted lives. And God is saying, I'm listening. I'm here. Are you willing to come to Him? The other thing that we see is they were cast down with disappointment, with unbelief. In chapter 5 and earlier, when Moses comes to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, and says, God is going to take you out of Egypt and relieve you of your bondage as slaves, they were excited, they were happy. But then things went from bad to worse. Their attitude changed. Why? Because there were unmet expectations. They just sort of assumed that God would just come in, snap His fingers, and boom, it was all going to be taken care of. God didn't do it that way. And many times God doesn't do it that way today either. He takes us through a process so that He can do a mighty work inside of us, a work that no one else can do, to change who we are, what we are, in the very depths of our soul as we come to Him. But sometimes we allow unmet expectations that we have, to block us from seeing and understanding what God wants to accomplish inside of us. And so we get all frustrated and all worked up and saying, if God didn't do what I wanted Him to do, then I'm not going to believe in Him. That's why the Israelites had a broken spirit, because they were willing to lift their eyes off their unmet expectations and put it on a God who is far bigger and stronger than their unmet expectations. Third thing that we see here with the Jewish people is their dread of Pharaoh's power. They were scared of Pharaoh because he had some level of power and control over their lives as slaves. But they couldn't see their God, who is far more powerful and far more stronger than Pharaoh. And yet, how many times in our lives do we see people or relationships or other things in our lives that have a degree of control over us, and we fear them more than we fear the God who can take our soul? It's interesting how people are afraid of the coronavirus, something they haven't seen. Oh yes, they've heard people tell about it, but you and I, for the most part, haven't seen it. We've maybe seen pictures of it on the internet or so forth, but it's nothing you can readily see. And see how much changes it has made in our life in the past week. And yet God, who cannot be seen with the naked eye, has given all the evidence that He exists through creation, and yet people are not willing to come and to believe in Him. We will readily believe in the coronavirus, but we won't believe in the greatness and the awesomeness of the God of the universe, who created the universe. There's a book by the name of Lamentations in the Bible. Doesn't sound like a very exciting book, does it? Because Lamentations comes from the word lament, which means to weep and to cry. It's written by the prophet Jeremiah, and it's an expression of his own heart after he sees the total destruction of the city of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. This happens, of course, many hundreds of years after Exodus chapter 6. But in the midst of that whole book, with the weeping and the crying and the anguish that Jeremiah is expressing from his own heart, there's these verses in chapter 3. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. You may be asking this morning, how can I experience this hope in my life? As I look around, there's not much hope. How can I experience this hope? Well, the first thing is to be able to come into a relationship with God through believing in our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. You see, God was using the Jewish nation to bring to us Jesus Christ, who's 100% God, 100% man. He died on the cross, and in fact, in a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter, and the whole reason for Easter is the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, physically. He was buried in a tomb, physically died, and then was resurrected from the dead, and showed his resurrected body to many people. Many signs were written down of testifying of the resurrection. And he never died again. Never, ever to die again. Oh, there have been people who have been resurrected from the dead. In fact, Scripture even talks about a few of them, Lazarus as well as a few others. But you know what? All those people died again. Jesus never did. He was resurrected once from the grave to accomplish a mission, to accomplish the offering us the opportunity to be able to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that through faith in him, we are able to have a relationship with the God of the universe, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's available for everyone. All you have to do is simply believe. I have with me a candle. Here at the church, we light the candle whenever we hear of someone who comes to faith in Christ, and so I'm just going to go ahead and light the candle. This candle is lit for a very young girl who attends here. Her name is Adriana. She came to faith in Christ several weeks ago. It's a message that's so simple, even young children can understand it. It's just simply believing. But many times for us as adults, it's so hard to actually believe that something so simple could be so true, because we feel that we have to do something, we have to accomplish something, and yet God was bringing the Jewish people through a process to help them realize, you're not going to do anything in this Exodus, in leaving Egypt. I'm doing all the work. All you have to do is simply follow and obey. And if you want eternal life, it's a very famous verse in the Bible. It says, for God so loved the world, that means you and me, and every living person on this earth, on this planet, God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas, with a mission to die. Because only the perfect sacrifice could take care of all the offenses, the shame, and the guilt, and all of the wickedness that goes on in this world. Only he and he alone could offer what was necessary to pay for all those sins and offenses. And so that's what he did. That's what he did on the cross. And he offers it freely for all of us if we are just willing to come, believe, accept, embrace, put our confidence in him rather than in ourselves. It's all free. Don't have to pay for it. Yes, it cost our Lord dearly. It cost God dearly to see his only son being mistreated, whipped, and crucified and died for people who could have cared less. And yet by faith we can come and embrace that and become a son or daughter of God. That's the first step, to be able to experience this hope that's talked about in this book of Lamentations. But you might be a follower of Jesus Christ, and maybe you're just dealing with all of the emotions that have come with the changes of this week. It's natural, we're human beings. God gave us emotions for a reason. So that we stay in a broken spirit such as the Jewish people, but to be able to experience his joy and his love and the peace that, as Jesus says, that the world knows nothing about, but we can experience, and it's all available to us as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone who's a follower of Jesus Christ always experiences these. They're available, but sometimes we can be like the Jewish people and be a little bit stubborn too. But God has given us these emotions so that we can see and understand what's in the very depths of our own heart. It's like the lights on your dashboard of your car. If you see the engine oil light come on, I would really suggest you pull over and stop. Because if you don't, you're going to have some really major damage to your engine. Now, if it's just the check engine light, I would encourage you, well, maybe it's not a big issue. Maybe you can continue, but at some point you're going to have to address that issue. I know some of us like to put masking tape over those lights so we don't have to look at them, but at some point you're going to have to address the issue. God gave us those emotions so that we would see the things that we need to address in the very depths of our heart and soul. And so I encourage you, allow Jesus to use the emotions of your heart to show you what's in the very depths of your heart. Those emotions God has given to you so you can be able to better experience Him, experience His promises. And even those negative emotions, none of us really enjoy having, but they're there so God can do a work in us. And as we come to Him and we ask Him, Lord, show me what is truly in my heart, He will show you. And we would love to be able to pray with you, alongside of you in that process, so that you can experience all that God has promised you. Because you see, many times in the very depths of our hearts and souls, we begin to believe lies. Maybe it's a lie that we believed a long time ago, something that's happened in our lives, or it could be something very recent. We're not able to experience the victory in Jesus Christ. We're not able to experience His power in our life, because we've got some things way down deep that need to be addressed. The Bible gives us the word picture of Jesus standing at a door, and this door is in our heart. And in fact, in reality, our heart has a lot of doors. And Jesus goes and knocks on those doors. And He says, how about some time for some spring cleaning? How about letting me in and let's look at maybe some things that, if you will allow me to touch, I can transform you into enjoying everything that I've created you to be. The thing of it is, there's only a doorknob on the inside, and only you and I can open up that door. And if we're willing to open up that door, sometimes it might be a little bit of a painful process, but the victory is so awesome. Again, that is a decision for you and I to make. Now, I wish I could tell you that this story has a happy ending. The Jewish people did have a happy ending in the fact that God did deliver them. He delivered them from the nation of Egypt, and they spoiled the Egyptians in being able to just take all the clothes and money that they wanted to, everything that they could carry away. If you want the details, read the book of Exodus. But the sad thing is this generation saw God do all kinds of wonderful things, gave them the law on Mount Sinai, took them to the promised land. They were at the verge, ready to go into the promised land. And they sent spies out, and the spies came back and said, wow, this is a wonderful land. But there's a problem. And the problem caused this generation to say no to God. No, we will not go into the promised land. And the sad ending is that this generation spent the rest of their lives wandering around in what we know today as Saudi Arabia, dying one after another, after another, after another, until all those over 20 had died, until a new generation came up that was willing to go into the promised land. I would just want to encourage you this morning, don't say no to God. Say yes to God. He loves you. He sent His very best, His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. Why would you say no to that? I want to encourage you to say yes to what God has for you. So that even though life is going from bad to worse, you can experience hope where there is no hope. Let us pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, thank you for this time that we've just been able to be together for a few moments to see the wonderful hope that exists in you. And Lord, I pray for anyone that is listening here, Lord, help them to experience the very hope that is in you. Not just kind of a hopey hope type thing, but an assured hope. Something we can bank on, something that we can know is for sure, because we're focused on you. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to come to a saving faith in you for those who do not know you. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, help us to use the emotions that you have allowed to come up into our hearts from this past week with all the changes and everything that's taken place, to have a deeper, closer walk with you, to be able to experience more of your power and the more of your presence in our daily lives, so that we can go out, minister to people, love people, and encourage people in the time of great difficulty. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for joining us. May the Lord richly bless you, and we hope to look forward to seeing you next Sunday morning. There we go. Thank you, everyone.